Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman, and today I have a very special guest with me. Not only is Jessica Thompson an amazing energy healer and astrologer and human being, but she also happens to be related to me. She is my cousin's daughter, and it has been an amazing thing to watch this beautiful woman grow up from her sweet little childhood to being a mama of two herself. And so I want to welcome you to the show, Jess.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Well, you know, let's start right off. Can you tell me, so you are an energy healer, as we know, and you practice healing touch and sacred dance and astrology. Tell us about this journey through your life that brought you to this point.
Sure. So I guess growing up, I have always been very interested in the natural world, very connected to the animals around me, to even insects as a child, and felt an emotional connection with it all. I guess through living in this world and having to conform to it, or not having to, but having that happen, and then sort of disconnecting from that, I was reawoken to it when I became a mother. Becoming a mother, for me, reminded me of how connected I was throughout my youth to the natural world, and it sort of re-enlivened my journey and got me back on track with learning, and I just sort of started following the energy. And I remember one of the first things I did was contact you again and took one of your classes, and that led to a bunch of other classes, and here I am.
Well, I'm so glad to see, and especially, and I know certainly firsthand as a mother and a grandmother, what it means to look at life through the eyes of a child again. You know, we can so easily in our own personal experiences be jaded by the things that happen to us, and we kind of can be very introverted. But it is, I think, becoming a mother for us as women, we can speak to that. To really look again, what is life really all about, and how do we help these precious human beings have the clearest, best experiences, even as we navigate difficult challenges? So, as a young child, you were very sensitive to energy, meaning, so those that don't understand, feeling things, being aware deeply of how others felt, even if they weren't expressing it openly or honestly. Tell us about that and how you have began to choose to be a homeschooling mom so that you can nurture that genuine freshness within your children.
Sure. So as a child, as you said, feeling these things and this connection to others and the emotional rhythms and flowing of others, but also not understanding it, was very confusing as a child. Lots of times I was almost assuming that if I felt anger in somebody, that it was because of me. Or, you know, just me walking into a room and feeling these things automatically made me think that they were feeling those things right at that moment. And really, it could have been lingering. So learning these things as I grew really helped me to heal that in me and realize that a lot of the things I used to think were my fault were not, and that these gifts could be used as tools instead of a source of suffering. And homeschooling has been amazing because it's not just about numbers and letters and learning the basic things that we need to learn education-wise. It's about infusing life into it. So in the middle of the science lesson, something emotional might come up, or a memory in one of my children, and we can stop what we're doing and really think about all the questions that come up, you know, of, because, you know, children experience the hardships of life too, with, you know, when my father passed, my children are right there with me, and they had a chance to be with me through that and to grieve and to ask the question, to go through all the emotions that they needed to in their own time. We didn't have to rush it, and it continues to this day. You know, this was years ago now, and if something comes up, we have the time to sit and discuss it and relate it to the natural world and what we're learning, math, science, literature, it all ties together with living.
Mm. So, Jess, you became very interested in astrology. Can you tell me how that came to be, and then how you became, well, first of all, you're an extraordinary writer, and and I'm going to say it publicly, I've been trying to get you to write a book forever.
Yes.
Because
I've started many.
Oh, good. Well, you have to complete the thing. That's the challenge, you know. So, okay. So, Jess, I know that you became very interested in astrology, and you began a beautiful website and a series of offerings of your writing called Inside the Chrysalis. Can you tell us about how that evolved in your interest in astrology, and then, of course, your beautiful writing?
Yes. So I began just by personally working with myself with the phases of the moon, from the new moon all the way through to the full moon and back again, completing a cycle. And with that, I began implementing intentions for myself. So with the new moon, I would intend on, for this cycle, I will just practice, you know, it could be something as simple as learning to ground better or being more grounded. And so that entire cycle, my intention was to focus on that one part of my own healing journey. Then adding the transits of the moon into that put a more emotional focus on it. So the moon represents our subconscious, our habits, and our emotions, how we are emotionally focused on things. And that, of course, influences our intention and what we're working towards. So I added that together and started working on it for myself, and I started to see how quickly I was moving through my emotional healing. And that really helped me. So I started doing just reports, written reports for people. Every month it would be a new theme, depending on where the moon was going to be new. Like this month it's in Gemini, so we're working on freeing the voice.
So Jess, let me ask you, when you say cycles of the moon, so I want you to think about, many people don't understand any of that. So what does the cycle mean? What does the transit mean? Just very briefly, so that people understand what you're speaking about.
Sure. So the cycle of the moon is, it begins when the moon is new, and that is when the moon and the sun are in the same position in the sky. So that, for instance, right now, we are in the Gemini cycle. So the moon and the sun were renewed in Gemini. The transit is when the moon goes around the wheel, the astrology wheel. So after Gemini, it moves all the way back to where it will renew again in Cancer, which is the sign after Gemini. So each cycle, the moon is in every sign for about 2 days.
Okay.
And
so based on that, you're looking at what is the emotion that is connected to that particular astrological sign?
Exactly. So say, you know, just using this month, for example, the new moon was in Gemini. So the emotions that we feel when we express ourselves, the emotions we feel when we bite our tongue and we hold everything in, what can we do about that? What can we do to feel more comfortable with expressing ourselves? And then we take that full cycle to work on that. It's really, moon is another word for month. So it's just a cycle is a lunar month.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. And many people aren't aware of how strongly the moon affects our emotions. And, you know, if we look at in ancient times, before many things were convoluted and changed, the moon was very, very powerful because it literally could move the tides within us and on the tides of the world and the oceans. And that is an immediate correspondence to our emotions, the tides of our emotions and understanding
exactly.
them.
The energy and motion, yes. So that's the liquid moving through us is our emotional body.
Right. So as you have been exploring these things and so wonderfully helping your boys express who they are through music, through different forms of expression, music, sound, instruments, you've also incorporated what you call sacred dance. What is sacred dance?
It is basically just a moving meditation. I struggled with meditating. I've had a hard time doing it for a lot of years. And then, of course, going back to motherhood again, when I was pregnant, I rocked all the time. I just rocked sitting down, standing up. And I remember back into childhood when I would just sit in a chair and close my eyes and rock back and forth. I believe it's called grass, in like the flowing of the tall grass. And that helps to kind of fall into a meditation, especially for women, because of the movement. And because of all the emotions, it helps us to really feel into our emotions while we're meditating. So the sacred dance, it is music that resonates with the chakras of the body. And then I say words when we're dancing through all the chakras that sort of ignite the feeling of what that chakra is. So being alive and safe and secure when we're working through the sounds of the root chakra and we're dancing to the drums and we feel that drumming beat of the earth while we're dancing. And it's not, you know, it's not about the movement. It's not to be fancy or to do something that looks really cool, even though it does, because you're dancing from your soul and you're listening to your soul as you're dancing.
So what have you seen it do for people? You know, even though these seem like they're not disjointed at all, healing, dancing, astrology, it's all about learning who are we? Because all that we have done in our lives have been so controlled and so contrived often. And to be able to choose to express that, and then especially as a mama, teaching your boys to express that so that they're free to be who they are is really so beautiful, because that's what we definitely need in this world. People that really are free to be themselves.
Yes.
And
I
how
agree.
How have you seen that help people change?
I have seen it through becoming unstuck. I feel movement is very, very helpful. If, you know, if even if you're doing the work, sometimes you get blocked. You get to this point where you just don't know where to go next. And the movement that happens through the dancing allows that energy to move. And as it's moving, you become more aware. The emotions that leave you or the memories that come up as you're moving, as the energy is flowing through you, unblocks those things for you. So you can, you know, I really suggest after the dancing to just sit for a while and to journal or to draw or do something that creatively helps that to flow out even more so that you're aware. So the next day when you wake up, you know now what that block was because it moved out of you while you were dancing.
So the beautiful thing is what I feel that has happened historically in humanity, and we're certainly seeing it now, is that people have held back their anger and are held back their frustration until it gets to the point of exploding. And we're seeing it here around us all the time. How are you helping your boys navigate what's going on now with the COVID and all of what you're helping them to see and do and learn?
I'm helping them through. One of the biggest things is just staying centered. We always talk about what it means to be too fearful or too angry, and to look at those emotions and what it's trying to tell you. And an example of that would be in the very, very beginning of this, we were on our way home from a lesson, and we stopped at the grocery store, and somebody was wearing a mask. And I looked at my youngest son's face because it just lit up with fear because he didn't understand what was happening. But he felt that something was off, or something was different or changing. Mm-hmm. So we got our groceries and we went home, and I brought it up. I said, "So what did you think when you saw that?" And they used the words fear and confusion, but also that they were feeling the fear and confusion in the other people as well, which just added to it all.
Yes, yes.
So we're constantly just looking at what's happening and then drawing ourselves back into our center so that we can see it with clear eyes and know that this is different and this is changing and there's things that we have to be careful of, but we don't have to walk around in that fear all the time. We can keep bringing it back to, this is who I am and this is what I have to do, but I don't have to be afraid because of it. It's just something that's new and changing.
How beautiful, because, you know, so many times, especially I would imagine from a child's perspective, they see an adult that has been habituated into behaving and believing a particular way. And when we have these beautiful young people that are witnessing the fear that others have lived through, either by their own choice or imposed upon them, they can see a different way. They can see, oh, this is a wounded person acting because they don't know how to react, or they don't know how to respond. They simply react. So yeah. I'm just so, always so touched by what you're doing, Jess. And again, I want my listening audience to know my guest today is Jessica Thompson. And I would suggest that you go to her beautiful website. It's www.chrysalisenergymedicine.com. which is spelled Chrysalis, energy, E-N-E-R-G-Y, medicine.com. Or you can find her on Instagram at chrysalis.energy.medicine. Jess, what do you want people to know about what you're experiencing right now and what you see moving forward to begin to heal our world as individuals and collectively?
I feel a great reset taking place. Mm-hmm. I feel that there are many people that are using this time to remember things, even with like my older son playing music and sharing this music online. And I've noticed a lot of artists doing this to stay active with their own art, but also to share it. And the difference I'm seeing is that people are again seeing that as medicine. So somebody who used to play, you know, in restaurants, for instance, playing music in restaurants, now is doing this live on Facebook. And so all of these people are at home, and all of a sudden there's beautiful music live on Facebook. And that instantly is medicine that takes them back to the person that they are that loves music, who maybe didn't have time to listen just a week ago or 2 months ago. Mm. So coming out of this, I feel that there's a great reset happening to remember all of this medicine and the reasons for life being beautiful, instead of just being busy and disconnected all the time, that there's a beautiful chance for us to remember how to bring it back. Like I said before, with helping guide the kids, adults need to do this too, to bring it back to the center and to look at what does this information mean to me? What does this music make me feel? What does walking outside for an hour do to me? How do I feel so much better after being able to do this?
Mm.
So no matter what happens, I really, really feel and hope that there's going to be many people who don't want to give up those parts anymore. They don't want to go back to just the busyness all the time. They want to incorporate, you know, being active and open and having this beautiful external life, but also not ignoring the internal life either.
Well, and I think that what we have to know is that our internal life drives our external life. It's mm-hmm. not the other way around. And although many times we are habituated into just reacting to the outside world, but it's an immediate trigger to something that has not been resolved within us. And I agree with you 100% that we're in a time of great transition. We're in a time of really electing, if we choose, to make a choice that is for the betterment of our world, the betterment yeah. and the final opportunity to begin to resolve some of these things that have been in place for so long that have never served the betterment of humanity and, of course, of mm-hmm. this beautiful place in which we live. Tell us what your experience is like as a homeschooling mom who didn't have to abruptly become a homeschooling mom, but you did so by choice.
Yes. Well, the biggest thing about homeschooling that I've learned is that to decondition yourself to not just recreate public school in the home. It's more of an extension of parenting is what I like to call it. It's just a greater extension of parenting. So for homeschooling, it's really important to let the children lead. Mm-hmm. Whatever their interests are at the moment. And, you know, my boys are really interested in animals. So while we're learning about animals, how can you integrate math and literature and reading and writing into all of that? So it keeps it interesting. And then you can go out and have an adventure and explore outside and sit with a nature journal and really look at nature for hours if you want, and just write down and draw pictures about what you see. And then go home and, you know, look it up in books and get books from the library and learn about the science of it all and just keep it going that way through interest. And
yes, to make it enjoyable, because no child, I don't ever remember hearing a child say to their mommy or daddy, gee, I want to spend my day taking tests. No.
Right.
They want to spend right. their day learning, creating. And I think that, you know, we have to lovingly think of the adults in the world that have been entrained into believing that they are being tested. And so therefore they put their unrealistic expectations on children that have fresh minds and really are the problem solvers of our future if we let them be. If yeah. we let them be that. Because they're right. old souls that have been born. And old souls are the ones that have come back with much, much experience. And even though they look like they're chronologically in a very young body, because that is how a human being is formed and developed, they're old souls that have great mm-hmm. wisdom if we just listen.
Exactly.
And I'm so proud of you, Jess. I just need to let you know that. I'm so proud of who you are. I'm so grateful to have watched you grow and change and blossom into this beautiful woman that you are. This incredible mama and very strong and standing in some difficult times in your life, but arising intact and with everyone else intact also. People don't have to always be in someone's wake as something right. changes. That's what we need to know. So Jess, what is the best way you prefer for people to get in touch with you real quickly so that maybe someone could get a healing or a reading or learn more about what you're doing?
Yes, email would probably be best, or even a text or a phone call would be fine as well.
And how would you want them to email you?
What's your email? It is Jess, jess@chrysalisenergymedicine.com.
Good.
And my phone number. Should I not give my phone number?
Yes, go ahead. Unless you want, it's up to you.
Okay. It's 734-658-4664. And I take text messages throughout the light of day.
Okay.
The sun goes down and so does my phone gets hidden away as well.
Good, good. Well, thank you so much for your time today. My guest has been Jessica Thompson, an amazing woman, energy healer, practitioner of sacred dance, and an amazing astrologer and a phenomenal writer. Thank you so much, Jess. Much love to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Elaine.
Thank you.